1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Our Thursday Newsmakers brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we're happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, the 18th of November, 25 degrees, a wind chill of 18 out there this morning, so bundle up just a bit. Some fall chilliness in the air out there, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker on this Thursday by Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line. Jennifer, good morning.
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are things going for you today?
Oh, we're doing okay today.
Good to hear. Now, I wanted to ask you here about COVID stats and trends like we typically do, but I wanted to couch that in, I guess, maybe your workload that you've had over the last maybe month or so here between you and your other office staffers.
Yeah, workload is high right now. It's really been high since the end of the summer when kind of school started, and we saw that spike that happened in cases. Although we kind of dipped down a little bit, we're definitely right back up there with cases. And so workload is high. And then you combine that with all of the vaccine that we're delivering as well. That puts tremendous stress on our staff. We're pretty busy there at Public Health.
Well, let's talk about the stats and trends. Yesterday, 47 new cases, Jennifer, and that puts our active count from 110 to 133. Your thoughts on these numbers?
Well, unfortunately, this is kind of what we feared. For the last several weeks, I had been saying that we were worried about where our disease spread was in our community as we were going into the holiday season, that it was higher than what we really wanted it to be. And that just allowed for disease transmission when people start to gather. And I think we're starting to see the after effects of the gatherings for Halloween and fall parties. And now we are diagnosing many more cases a week than what we're wanting. We were kind of had held steady sort of for several weeks, probably about 4 or 5 weeks, where we were diagnosing anywhere between, about 60 to 65 cases a week. And in the last couple of weeks, we have diagnosed significantly more than that. We're diagnosing over 80 cases a week now. So that's not really good news. That puts all of our metrics in high transmission. And unfortunately, that means that we have a lot of disease burden out in our community. So right now we have, much more individuals either in isolation or in quarantine than what we really need in our community.
Where would you like to see these numbers at this point in time, specifically, I guess, on the weekly new case loads and then the resulting active case numbers that what you're seeing in kind of a compare and contrast side of things?
Yeah, gosh, if we could get back to where we were, in the summer, early spring, where we were diagnosing less than 10 cases a week, really a comfortable point if we were looking at sustainability of, decreasing transmission would be only diagnosing 2 to 5 cases a week of COVID. We're much higher than that.
Well, how do we get this turned around? I mean, what are you recommending here? Obviously, to get vaccinated would be number one, I would assume, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. That vaccination is one of the biggest tools that we have to stop the spread through our community. I have said from the beginning, as we talk to community partners, one of the questions we get asked in public health a lot is, how does this end? How does this pandemic end? And my response always is, it ends in immunity. I mean, somehow, some way, the pandemic ends when enough people have immunity. And we would really like to see that immunity come from vaccine and not from natural infection. Natural infection happens. We can have lots of severe effects with that. We can have death and hospitalization. We can have lasting effects from that COVID infection, those long haulers. That's what we would like to, you know, prevent. So the best way to gain immunity is through vaccination.
Let me ask you on that, because we're seeing a lot of people who have increasingly over the last 2 months, and really, I guess, at the tail end of the election cycle and now past it, have including some politicians at the state and federal levels who have been saying natural immunity is actually the way to go instead of vaccinations. What are the different side effects that come from vaccines versus what you just mentioned with natural immunity?
Right. So, wow, we see so many more side effects with natural infection. So if you get this disease, you know, your body is going to set up immunity to it. You will have an immune response. But there are a lot of side effects or symptoms that come with that. And some of those we still don't quite understand. We know viruses can cause lasting effects way down years later. We know that they can cause other diseases, autoimmune diseases, and we're not really for sure what this virus can do to our body. So we can talk about really short-term health effects that are severe. That is, you know, those really severe feeling bad enough to be hospitalized or potentially die from the disease. But we also have those lasting effects that we're really not for sure what it can happen. With the vaccine, although we do see side effects, it is very rare that we have those severe side effects to a vaccine. Much less rare than what we would see in natural infection. And the other important part is we're still trying to kind of work out that natural immunity, and does it protect us for the long term? And, you know, that's still something where science is still working out, whether natural immunity is better than vaccine. But really the data coming in is showing that vaccine immunity is actually better than the immunity that you get with natural infection. And we just don't really know now what, if you're going to be the person that sets up long-term immunity when you get natural infection. So it is much safer for you, for your community, to get your immunity from that vaccine.
And talking with Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our primetime newsmaker, 728, 25 degrees. Well, Jennifer, new booster policy unveiled. You've been busy with booster clinics here. You've had a couple that you've had already that were full, and another one that's full here at the end of November. But recently announced new booster policy, opening this up to all. Where are we at status-wise on the new booster policy?
Well, this definitely is a little bit of a diversion than what we're used to. You know, we're used to the CDC and the FDA approving a vaccine and then our state giving the go-ahead for it. And then we follow that state's policy, our state's policy on vaccine administration. So right now, Kansas has sort of deferred from what the FDA recommendation is. That puts us in a unique spot. So we're still trying to kind of work through what that means, but as a health department, we really try to follow what KDHE says. So if KDHE gives us a recommendation to administer boosters to any person that is in a high-risk kind of category, which right now they are including any county that's in high transmission, which is Lyon County, then, you know, that would be something as a health department we would follow.
Jennifer, speaking of boosters, obviously you had a huge interest in booster vaccinations, and the clinics pretty much filled up that were announced here for earlier this month, and you have one, I think, on the 30th, which is may have a few spots left. But one of the things that we asked Justin Ogilvie about last week was kind of a compare-contrast between the older generation, which is lining up for those booster shots, and parents who are not maybe lining up their children for the recently announced kids clinics to as large of an extent.
Yeah, so we have to remember that the population that we are administering to is vastly different. Our 5 to 11, we estimated in Lyon County that there are about 2,500 individuals in that age group. Well, that is much, much less than the individuals that are 18 and over that are looking for boosters. So we knew absolutely that we would have to have clinics that were greater in number for our booster candidates than for our 5 to 11. I would really say that in our community, the want for a vaccine for 5 to 11 is what we expected it to be. We have kind of been working on the third principle, where we kind of know that when this vaccine rolls out, we have a third of people that want it right away, immediately. We have a third of people that are kind of at the wait and see, and then we have a third of people right now that, you know, would refuse. So if you take what a third of 2,500 is, that's pretty much what we've set our vaccine clinics up for. And we're sort of meeting that at this point. It may have been a little bit lower than expected, but we also have vaccine delivery for 5 to 11 in multiple pharmacies. So we do know that parents have chosen to get the vaccine at other places than at Lyon County Public Health. But good news is the demand for boosters has been pretty high. So we did open more spots up for our clinic. That's on the 30th. So if you are still looking for a booster dose, we have appointments available. So go to our website. We should be able to get you into that clinic on the 30th.
Now, we mentioned the new booster policy. Now, are we moving forward with that, or do we have to wait until you actually green light this? How's that going to work?
I would say it would probably be the best to wait till we actually kind of green light it and have it in policy right now. It is so new, we haven't even come together as a planning team to kind of decide how we're going to do that administration. But if you are one of those people looking, you can call our office. We may not have that answer right then, but we can definitely tell you how to find it. And also, anytime we do a change with vaccine delivery, we make sure that we put that out on our Facebook page or social media and put it out to our media outlets. So definitely be looking for an announcement from Public Health for that if you're interested.
Jennifer Milburn again joining us here for our biweekly update on COVID-19 policy. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you here about, you know, the Delta variant, because we've been hearing about this now for the better portion of 6 to 7 months now. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the variants had started possibly, you know, late last year, or, you know, about 6-7 months into the COVID-19 pandemic. I guess my question is, why has Delta been such the lead at this point in time? You know, when it took over, it basically wiped out all other competing variants. Why is that?
Yeah, it sure did. So I think the simple answer is sort of survival of the fittest. And that's really what has happened with Delta. So that mutation in that original SARS-CoV-2 virus that Delta has made it more fit in our communities for transmission. And that is what has happened. So it has basically pushed out all of the other types of viruses. Right now, I was looking yesterday at the numbers, and all of our sequencing shows in our region, so in that several state region around Kansas, we're in region 7, that right now the sequencing is 100% Delta variant, that they are really not finding even any other variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So that Delta variant is just better able to transmit, and so it became the predominant strain. And we do know, this virus transmits throughout our community, it mutates. And the Delta virus, that variant, is mutating too. So we have sub-lineages of it, but really they all are just closely enough related to that original Delta that they are all under Delta. But we would like to not have the virus transmitting as much as it is, because you never know what the next mutation is going to hold. And we, right now with Delta, although it's highly transmissible, you know, our vaccines cover it and our treatments cover it. We would really hate to see a mutation happen that would escape our vaccines or our medical treatments that we have for COVID-19.
Last question for you, Jennifer, as we wrap things up here today, is I think a couple of weeks ago you'd mentioned about some co-infections possibly being noted amongst part of our population, specifically COVID with flu or COVID with strep and things along those lines. How is the flu season going at this stage, and are we seeing some additional levels of co-infection at this particular point in time?
So co-infection is always a worry, and especially now when we have really started to gather more, those other infections that sort of lay dormant when we were doing the mitigation strategies that prevent COVID but also prevent them, we're seeing those pop back up. So I think the take-home message for everybody is to make sure that you get correct diagnosis. We are seeing co-infections. We're seeing co-infections of flu, strep, our other normal cold-like viruses and RSV. So when you go into the doctor's office, you know, it's okay to run more than one test. It's okay to not just have a COVID test, but let's also test for flu or whatever the symptoms are. And then the other thing, I guess, is really important is stay home if you're not feeling well. So you may think you just have a cold, but you may have something much more severe that you're going to give to somebody else that could cause some harm. So it's just that same old adage, if you're sick, let's stay home. And we're still in the early stages of flu season. Although we are diagnosing some, which we are, it's definitely not up into, you know, kind of the peak of flu season or anything that is really high circulating in our community right now.
Good information as always. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah, thanks. I hope you guys have a great day.
All right.
Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn on our primetime newsmaker this morning.
All right. If you'd like to be part of the newsmaker slots, next week is what we've got left, and then we go into December. So give us a call at 342-1400 or message us KVUE at KVUE.com. Emporia Symphony Orchestra conductor Ramiro Miranda joins us tomorrow morning at 7:20 as we talk about the upcoming symphony concert November 22nd.
And our newsmaker this morning brought to you by MRSK Buildings. They construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges today, 340-7732. MRSK Buildings. KVOE 737, 26 degrees. Good morning.
Tired of the endless cycle of laundry staring at you every day?